Hi, I'm Andreas, and welcome to Intrapreneur Stories, where we want to gather the experiences and key learnings from intrapreneurs in order to help other intrapreneurs in the future. I'm here at Van Hoeken with no one else than Stan van Avermaat, our first intrapreneur. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Andreas.
Thank you for having us here.
Thanks for the introduction. Yeah. No one else then. Huh?
Yeah, so... Let's start. I think a lot of people haven't heard of Van Hoeken maybe yet, but this is a good way to change it.
Well, the fact that people don't know Van Hoeken is probably because we are inside of the cabinets. We are a supplier for the kitchen and the furniture industry. And basically, we are always on the inside of the kitchen. If you think about the wood in the kitchen, if you let it go, then that's where we come in. We have the functional components in the kitchen. That's our specialty. So, like hinges, like box systems, so the drawer systems, and the lift systems for the upper cabinets. So take the wood away, and that's where we come in.
Okay, so it goes beyond the aesthetics, it's more the mechanics.
Exactly, very functional, only the functional part, very focused on the functional part.
And so you got thrown into this new world of intrapreneurship. I don't know how much of an entrepreneur you were already before that, or what your general background was overall in professional career, academically. Are there certain skills that you say, okay, this is probably the reason why I chose or became the entrepreneur for the project that is now upcoming?
I think you're not born as an entrepreneur. I think you need to have, enthusiasm. We say in Flemish, we say goesting. You really need the body and you really need the enthusiasm to getting things done, and that's basically what makes you an entrepreneur. And I think everybody can be an entrepreneur if that's an answer to your question. And it's not like I was given the stamp this is an entrepreneur, yes or no, but I think you need just the power and the hands-on mentality and the enthusiasm to become an entrepreneur. So it's not like you're entitled to be an entrepreneur, you just do it.
It's work. It's hard work.
Just do it. Because I think if you see this building, if you have a look in this building, it actually breeds entrepreneurship. The company was founded like 50 years ago by one of the biggest entrepreneurs I've ever met personally. It's Luc Van Hoeken, who founded the company all by himself. And it's led currently by the second generation of the family, which is Peter. And also Peter is like the full-body entrepreneur, if you want. He breeds it. He constantly thinks about changing business models, changing himself, changing other people. And he actually stimulates the team leader, but also other stakeholders in the company to be an entrepreneur, to be an intrapreneur, and to drastically think forward and reinvent ourselves. So that's not really a question. That's just a matter of being here in the company.
If I understand it correctly, basically everyone in the company with a good idea can walk up to Peter's door and then just say, let's have a look at this possibility.
Definitely. And if you come in the morning, you have a big chance that you might make it in the end. Yeah.
With a coffee, I assume.
Yeah.
And then what I understand, also walking through the company already, you see Van Hoeken is basically a house of brands. We have several brands here. You are the sole importer of Bloom within Belgium. But then you have the product Orgelux, which all of a sudden gets a whole new direction. What was the main setting for this entity to become a separate company?
Orgelux was founded like 15 years ago. It was founded by some entrepreneurs in the company. So the early adopters were basically launching the Orgelux brand as an inner dividing system for the Bloom box systems, for the Bloom drawers. That was it. And we sold, and we're still selling, of course, Orgelux as a inner dividing system through our B2B channel. So if the kitchen manufacturer wants to have the inner dividing systems, he can sell it alongside the total kitchen concept, let's say. But like 1 year ago, we decided there was a need for the end customer to have the inner dividing system in the kitchen if it was not sold by the kitchen manufacturer. So we decided to have a look at the B2C segment, where we can actually sell these inner dividing systems through an online channel. Because we felt, when we were at the fair, when people were in our showroom, we felt really the enthusiasm for people to organize their kitchen.
Because I can imagine a lot of people do tend to have unorganized kitchens. This is a whole new market setting. So taking this outside the company walls, do you already feel that there are some structural changes coming in the company? People that are feeling this wind of change coming, and how does it affect the employees at Van Hoeken at this point?
So Orgalix was, basically we call it a speedboat. Eh? So you have the mothership, which is Van Hoeken, which is the B2B company, which is in the Benelux, quite dominant player, let's say. But for Orgalix, we are in a B2C big ocean, and we're very unknown as a brand. And we decided to give it a little bit of a speedboat approach, where the mothership is slowly trying to turn like this, and the speedboat is very flexible, let's say, very
agile.
Dynamic, very yes. agile. And I think we need this if we want to enter a B2C market, which we don't know. We are a full B2B company. For 50 years, we have been a very dominant B2B company. But if you really want to go into the B2C market, that's a totally different approach. And to reply to your question, I think the most of the people here are all consumers. They're all human, of course. But at the end of the day, they're really like in a B2B focus. So if we want to go ahead in the B2C market, we need a different kind of approach. And we need to stimulate our own employees to become part of this B2C brand as well.
And how do you feel, or how is this currently taking its course? Do you see maybe taking in external people? Is this one of the options? Or how do you feel that the growth hack in terms of learning the B2C mindset will be apprehended within Van Hoeken? Or Orgalux, for that matter.
Well, first of all, we have quite some people who are very enthusiastic to start with this brand because it's a fun brand, you know. We call it a female brand, but it's a very fun brand. It organizes your life, it organizes your kitchen. It's really like fun to sell. It's an accessory brand, and everybody likes accessories.
Is it because
day, right?
Females are more organized than the men, or
I wouldn't say that. I know some very organized men as well, but I just mean it's not a technical brand. It's really like a fun product. So we have some quite some enthusiasts in the company who are really very eager to start marketing the brand in a totally different way as we did before in the last 15 years. But then we need help. So this is again when you guys come in. So we need help from the outside how to market this product. Also how to digitally market this product, because we have a very dominant web shop in the company, but it's strictly B2B. So you cannot just copy and paste this web shop and put it into a B2C market. So we need the experience from the outside, and then we have the enthusiasts on the inside. And I think these two are mixed together, and it gives you a perfect cocktail of people who are really very much into the idea. Yeah.
So, looking at the mothership, Van Hoeken, you launch a new vehicle, a new speedboat, into a whole new direction, into the B2C market. Of course, you're looking at outside experience to get a growth hack into the B2C world, but there must be some assets that can be leveraged from the corporate mothership.
That's a good question. I would immediately say, in terms of resources, we have the resource in the mothership. As I said, they're very enthusiastic to start with the brand and start marketing the brand in a totally different way. But on the other hand, those resources are already fully booked, let's say. So we cannot just say, okay, you need to do this in your spare time, and in the evening you can market Orgalix a bit, and then the rest of the day your current business stays the same. So I think this is one of the biggest pitfalls which companies have, that they say people will do it between 4 and 6 in the evening, they will market the new brand. That's okay. So this is one of the things we learned, that we need a speedboat for, that we need people to ignite this and to actually do this. When it comes to helping the speedboat as a mothership, I think we need the investment, the marketing investment of launching a new webshop. We can work out a webshop in 3 days, but we need to do it in a thorough way, because we want to be there for the next 15 years with this new brand, right?
Of course.
So we really need to think about how to create a webshop, what needs to be in there. We have like 9,200 SKUs in Orgalux, so we really need to look at how many SKUs do we need at the end of the day. We cannot just throw 9,200 SKUs online and think people will buy this. So we really need to think about how would people react if we put two online? Is that according to their needs, etc.? And one of the other things is we have the experience in the functional fittings. So it means we have the experience in the box systems, and we are producing approximately 15,000 box systems a week at Van Hoeke. So we know the box system. We know the exact dimensions of the box system. So as a mothership, we know where the boxes are going, and we know the exact dimensions.
The operational excellence is there already to
yeah, so to we know these dimensions. So it means we can actually perfect fit the inner dividing systems into your box in your kitchen, because we know the size of your box.
Now, of course, I think the main and most interesting question that I'm eager to hear from you or hear your answer for is to see, you're an entrepreneur now. You have brought this new entity to life. If you had to do it all over again, I send you back into time, and you know what you know now, what would you have done differently? What were your main key learnings in this process? What would you have bypassed in or done differently?
In the design thinking environment, I think things will never be the same again in this company, because first think and then act is really something we learned. If you ask me what I should do different, and I know one of our product designers is Kevin, which actually got introduced, bundled in the design thinking methodology into the company. He once told that availability is not a competence. So I think that this is one of the learnings we have. That means that if you want to involve people into the sprint, into the methodology which you use, so if you want to involve people from our company, on the inside of the company, then they need to be available. So it means you don't pick on availability, you pick on competence, right? And if you pick on competence, you are quickly entering the same people all over again, and you think, okay, this guy is very good at this, so we gather a team, but basically you always think you need the same power team to get things done, and that's not the case. You really need to focus on what do I exactly need in this part of the sprint, and who's the best in class for this, and not because the people are available, let's say, that they are the best in class. So you really need to think very thoroughly on who you want to have in this power team, over and over again in every phase of the project.
And was this a learning by doing? Was this something that that was an issue at some point?
Yeah, definitely, because at some points we found out that, okay, maybe they're not the right people in the room. So they're all nice people, we all love them, let's say, they are entrepreneurs as such, but maybe we need more information from the market, we need more information from the customer service department, maybe we need more information on controlling, on the financials, etc. So really the power team who needs where we need the exact input from, it's really very important to think about this very thoroughly, who you want in this. And the other thing maybe which I've learned is that it's not because you work with an outside company like you guys or other companies that there's no more work to do at the inside of the company. So this is also one thing I learned. Somebody needs to pick up what are the main conclusions, and on the way, people need to pick up the project as well on the inside. So it's not like you sit back and enjoy the ride and the outside companies will do the rest. That doesn't work. You still need people on the inside who actually are still on top of the project,
of course,
coaching the project and a follow-up. And I kindly underestimated this part as well, because we think, okay, the outside companies will do this for us, but at the end of the day, you still need.
With entrepreneurship comes great responsibilities,
exactly,
you could say.
Yeah.
You as an entrepreneur, you might have questions unanswered, or maybe things that you want to ask peers who are facing other industries similar problems. Is there anything that maybe you want to ask to our next entrepreneur that we are going to interview?
I think we're still in the middle of trying out several things, but if there's one question which is still a little bit unanswered, but I don't know if there's a correct answer to that. I think, as I said before, the people in the power team are crucial. So if somebody else, like another entrepreneur in another company, has the same challenges, think very thoroughly about who you want in the team, and if you have a way of hiring people into this power team, how can you find those people in the company, which are all, they're all there, but you can, they're not visible all the time. So if you can find a way how to get people into the project which really makes sense at a certain time, think that's...
The star pupils of the company, how to detect them, yeah, how to find them.
Maybe like hiring people, but on the inside of the company. And if you can find a tool there, that would be great.
We look very much forward to seeing what's going to happen with Aurealux. And of course, we'll still be there with other help. And your question will be taken on by the next intrapreneur in a couple of weeks. Thank you again for having us, and we're looking forward to seeing you again.
Me too, my pleasure.
Bye. Thank you for being with us today. This video was brought to you by Bundle, the venture development studio. If you're interested in more intrapreneur stories like this, then I'm happy to announce that our next interviewee will be no one less than Pieter de Wulf, one of the first intrapreneurs at bpost. Now, we'll be launching new episodes every 2 weeks on Monday from now, so check out our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, put it in your agenda, check out Intrapreneur Stories on your favorite podcast platform, and make sure to leave your questions for the intrapreneurs in the comment section below. We're looking forward to answering them and looking forward to seeing you again. Take care.